Today we're going to look at the fourth commandment. And so the title for today's message is Holy Day, Holiday. We're talking about the Sabbath. And speaking of holiday, there was a pastor one time that, and it was, what's really funny is somebody came up to me after the first service and said, "That's an interesting story you should tell since you weren't here last week." So you'll track with that in a moment. But pastor woke up one morning, he looked outside and saw how just beautiful it was. It was sunny, it was warm, there wasn't a bit of wind. It was just a beautiful day. And the pastor was thinking, man, it is much too nice to spend the majority of it cooped up in the four walls of church. So he threw his golf clubs into his car and he called the assistant pastor and he said, "I'm just not feeling it today. It's on you today." And so the assistant pastor said, "Okay, I got it." And the pastor jumped in the car and he drove to a couple of towns farther away where nobody would probably recognize him. He decided he's going to play golf. An angel of the Lord saw what was going on. He just got a little torqued off and went to God and said, "God, do you see what one of your servants, the preacher, is doing? He's playing hooky from church and playing golf." And God's like, "I'll take care of it." Right? So the preacher starts playing golf and he makes it through the first few holes. Pretty uneventful, fun, beautiful, nice, relaxing day. And he gets to hole number four. And it's a short par three. And it has a nice little dip down, and then the green sits on a little hill down at the bottom of this. It's just picturesque. It's a par three, about 170 yards, and so the pastor's like, "I think about a 5-iron. And so he gets out his 5-iron, and he finds a broken tee, and he sets it on the tuft of grass, and it sits perfectly. His ball rests in the cradle of that tee just perfectly. He takes a couple practice swings. He goes, "Oh, I hope I didn't just waste my good swings there." And he gets up to the ball, and whack, that ball comes off the head of that club like a rocket. And it went high, it went far, it went straight. And it hits the green, makes one of those big, beautiful divots. And then rolls about 10, 12 feet, clunk, right into the hole. The pastor stands, he raises his club, and he's doing the happy dance, you know. And the angel looks at God and says, "Really, God? A hole in one? That's what you call taking care of it? That's what you call punishing him for skipping out on church?" And God looks at the angel and goes, "Think about it. Who's he going to be able to tell?" So, with that being said, let's recite our family declaration and we'll dive into today's message. All right. "Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." If you have your Bible, I'm going to encourage you to open to Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to read verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest, dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." The Sabbath. My, how we have digressed. Great-grandpa used to call it the Holy Sabbath. Grandpa called it the Sabbath. Dad called it Sunday. We call it the weekend. God established and modeled the Sabbath in creation and set an example for us. Let's take a look at our text again in verse 11, and then we'll look at the actual creation account in Genesis. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11 again. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." Genesis chapter 2 in verse number 2. "On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he had rested from all his work of creation. Now, obviously, God doesn't need to rest, right? Isaiah chapter 40 says that God never gets tired. He never grows weary. There's just something about being omnipotent that keeps him fully charged and energized all the time, right? So what's with this rest business? I mean, what's up with that? Okay, watch this. Write this down. God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was done. God didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was done. He got to day seven, and he crossed his omnipotent arms, and he looked out at all that he had done and created and accomplished, and he said, yeah, this is really good. I think I'm done. See, the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which literally means to cease, to rest. You get the picture? God created and modeled the Sabbath for us. And he didn't rest because he was tired. He rested because he was done. His creation was good and perfect and complete. So let's take a look at a few Old Testament reasons for the Sabbath. A couple of Old Testament reasons for observing the Sabbath. Number one, the Sabbath was for remembering. The Sabbath was for remembering. God didn't want his people to forget that they were once slaves and that he had brought them out of slavery. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your male and female servants, your oxen and donkeys, other livestock, and any foreigners living among you. All your male and female servants must rest as you do." Here you go. "Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with his strong hand and powerful arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath day." God is saying, I don't want you to forget that you were once slaves. I don't want you to forget that I'm the one that brought you out of slavery. I want you to remember always the things that I have done for you. So he created and established the Sabbath to remember. Now, we all probably have things on our calendar and our phones, days to remember. We don't want to forget anniversaries and birthdays. And most of these things, most of these important dates are usually annual reminders in your device, right? It just comes up every year, you know. But God is like, this is so important that God doesn't want us to remember it annually. The Sabbath is so important that he wants us to remember it weekly. Every week is a Sabbath, okay? For remembering. A second reason for the Sabbath was for rest. The Sabbath was for rest. Now, I know some of y'all are going to be looking at me like, well, you just don't understand my schedule, and I'm going to say, God is still God, and we're not, and you just got to don't check out on this, okay? The Sabbath was for rest. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, our text again. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and everything in them, but on the seventh day he rested. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy." I've heard that if you keep a violin strung to concert pitch all the time, that it'll break. And I contend the same is true for us. When you operate 7 days after 7 days after 7 days after 7 days after 7 days without that day of rest, you'll crash as well. Your physical health, your emotional health, your relationships will all suffer without that day of rest. But don't miss this. Watch this. This is where one of those things where we blow it, okay? This is a God-centered rest. The Sabbath isn't a day off. The Sabbath isn't the weekend from the job. This is a day of God-centered, God-focused rest. It's a day of resting. It's a day of remembering. Remembering who He is and what He has done and what He has yet to do. It's a day for resting in His goodness, in His presence, and basking in Him and remembering Him and respecting Him and praising Him and talking to Him and listening to Him and worshiping Him. We don't necessarily keep the seventh day as what we see in the Old Testament, because the seventh day of the week was Saturday, right? But we still, but I think there's something very honorable, very special, very meaningful about making God first and taking that first day of the week, the Lord's Day, and guarding it as holy, as His day. Because the world is watching if there's something different about you and I. And they see that. When we're able to say no, when we're able to guard and protect this first day, the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, they take notice. And I believe the Lord will bless us for that as well. So God established and created the Sabbath as an example for us to follow, to remember and to rest. But by the time Jesus came on the scene, the Sabbath had become distorted at best, kind of legalistic, if you will. Kent Hughes, in his book called Disciplines of Grace, describes it this way, and I quote, "To ensure that no work be performed on the Sabbath, 39 clarifications of work were devised. One category forbade the carrying of burdens and hedged it with the minute prohibitions for every situation. Anything equal to or heavier than a dried fig was declared a burden. Happily, one could at least pick up a child on the Sabbath, provided the child's hands were first examined to make sure that they had nothing in them. For otherwise, that would involve lifting a burden." Wow. That's the kind of world that Jesus walked into, right? He obviously had some run-ins with the Pharisees because of this Pharisaical legalism. But I want us to take note of one thing. It's really important. Jesus always observed the Sabbath. Okay? He didn't follow the Pharisees' legalistic rules about the Sabbath, but he always followed the Sabbath. Always followed. So let's take a look at one of those run-ins, if you will, that Jesus found in the New Testament regarding Pharisaical legalism on the Sabbath. Mark chapter 2 in verse 23 through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 2 in verse 23. "One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, 'Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath?' Jesus said to them, 'Haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was the high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He also gave some to his companions.' Then Jesus said to them," watch this, "'the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath.'" It's important. "So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." So so when the Pharisees get after Jesus and they start questioning him, like, why are you allowing your disciples to harvest grain? He's like, really? You're going to take it that far, right? Popping some heads of grain because they're hungry. Do I need to remind you about how David went into the temple and took sacred bread that was meant for only the priests, and because they were hungry, they ate it too? Come on, guys, right? Two thoughts. Works of necessity are allowed. Okay? On the Sabbath, works of necessity are allowed. In other passages, Jesus is very clear about it's important that you don't let your animals starve, maybe, right? It's important that you probably give them water and food, even on the Sabbath. If you have a lamb that's sick or crippled, you pick it up and you put it over your shoulder and you carry it home and you take care of it, right? Jesus made that pretty clear. There's works of necessity, like, right? I'm glad that the ranchers today they go out and they throw some hay to their animals and make sure they got water, even on the Sabbath, right? I'm so grateful for doctors and nurses and firefighters and police officers and correctional officers. That's works of necessity, really. I'm glad we didn't just bail on the prisons and say, hey, you guys behave, we'll see you tomorrow, right? I mean, these are works of necessity. And I'm grateful we've got people that work on the Sabbath to protect us and provide for us. Amen? The problem, though, is that we don't keep that definition as narrow as we should. Works of necessity kind of is a moving target. But if we look at the definition, what's a work of necessity? It's like it's something that can't wait. We have to do it today. Tomorrow will be too late, right? But it's a moving target because we each have our own opinion and we try to justify things in our own minds. Like, this is a necessity that I actually do this. Is it really? Right? So, I mean, the problem with works of necessity is we all get to be the judge of what's actually a necessity, and sometimes we're a little skewed on what actually is necessary and what isn't. But that's probably a whole nother message. Number two, works of mercy are allowed. So number one, works of necessity are allowed. Number two, works of mercy. If you were to keep going, we finished with Mark chapter 2. If you were to keep going and reading in Mark chapter 3, we'd see another example where Jesus comes upon a man with a withered up hand and he heals him. And the Pharisees are waiting like, you're not going to do that. You're not. He's like, yeah, watch this, right? Heals him. And when we read that, it's not only is works of mercy okay or allowed, it's when you're reading the words of Jesus, it's almost like it's evil to not perform a work of mercy on the Sabbath if you have the opportunity. Why wouldn't you do something kind, regardless of the day, for someone else? Right, it's not like it's allowed, just allowed. It should be expected, especially of Jesus' followers. If we have the opportunity to provide a work of mercy on the Sabbath day, why wouldn't we? You see, the Sabbath was not given to restrict. It was given to provide. That's why Jesus said the Sabbath was meant to meet the needs of the people, not for people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Remember, it's a big difference. It's like, why do we have the Sabbath? It's for our good and His glory. It's to help us, not to restrict us, not to hinder us, not to be a bondage, not to be a downer. Like, oh, I can't do that. It's Sunday. It's like, church, we need to stop and do a whoo, get an eraser, wipe the whole thing clear, and start over with our understanding and opinion about the Sabbath. It was meant to help us. It's there. Like, I'm here today to deliver some really stinking good news, right? You need a Sabbath. God wants you to have a Sabbath. Not just once a month or once a year, every week. Okay, that's good news. You're like, oh, I'm so busy, I don't know how I'm going to fit it in. God set a good example in 6 days, created everything and then some. And then he rested because he was done and he knew he needed to set the example for us. Okay? So let's put the Old Testament reasons for the Sabbath together with the New Testament examples that we found in there and find this timeless principle that applies to us today. It's as simple as this. Watch this. We must observe a seventh day, not necessarily the seventh day. We can't get all so wrapped up in legalism that we call it the seventh day, because we don't even observe that today. As Westerners, Sunday is the first day of the week. We don't go to church on Saturdays, usually. Okay? We can't get so wrapped up in legalism and things like that to where we're like, oh, I missed it. We need a seventh day, not necessarily the seventh day. In the early church, it was changed from the seventh day to the first day. History will tell us a number of different reasons why, but let me just show you a couple of verses from Scripture to point this out. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it said, on the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking until midnight. So I got to go somewhere tomorrow, so we're going to stay for a few extra hours today, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 2, on the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you have earned. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. The day of the week isn't the big deal. For most of us, Sundays works pretty well. Yes, there are the works of necessity and things like that where it doesn't work to maybe observe a Sabbath or come to church on Sundays because of work and things like that. And that's why it's not necessarily the seventh or the first day, is we need a day. You need a Sabbath day every week. Remember, this isn't a day off. This isn't the weekend. This isn't just time to do what you want to do. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where I'm talking about, where I really feel like God wants us to dive in and get some clarification and make some decisions and honor him with the Sabbath. I'm being fully transparent and vulnerable here. I have not done a good job at all with observing the Sabbath. You know, you play along with me for a moment. So I'm a pastor. So is this really work? Or is it ministry? Is it fun? Is it play? Is it drudgery? Is it, you know, am I resting? Right? And so you'd be like, oh, can you count Sundays? Listen, Sunday is a day to remember. Like, from the moment I wake up on Sunday morning, I'm thinking about God. I'm remembering who he is and whose I am. I'm remembering the things that he's done for me. I'm reflecting on his goodness. I'm thinking about how much I love him and how much I want you to experience his love. And I mean, it's full. Now, if I go home, what am I doing with the rest of my day? Did I just go to church and then now I'm going to go do whatever Milt wants to do? Or is this seriously a day of Sabbath, that it's set apart as holy? What's holy mean? Set apart, guarded from anything else other than remembering and resting in him. So we're going to go home after church today and we're going to have a conversation about what does that look like with your schedule and my schedule. What does that look like? How can we effectively and meaningfully have a Sabbath? Y'all, the good news is you're not going to stand before me one day. And I'm not going to stand before you. But we're all going to stand before God. So I think it's important, imperative, that we square with God about this. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we're going to figure out the Sabbath and we're going to start honoring God with the Sabbath. Whatever that is, it's not necessarily the seventh or the first. We got to figure out what that looks like. Because we need a Sabbath. Every 6 days, we need this. It's a day to cease and desist from everything else and to remember and rest in His goodness. Let me throw in a third thing. We need to remember, we need to rest. The Sabbath was also for rhythm. The Sabbath was for rhythm. God created us in such a way that every 6 days we need a day of rest. He is the creator, we are the creation. Let us make man in our image. Therefore, we are created in the image of God. God set the example of what was needed in creation. 6 days, seventh is a day of rest. He established that. He set it up. He set it up in such a way that you and I cannot effectively function when we go week after week after week after week without that day of rest. Something's going to give. Your ministry isn't going to be as strong. Your effectiveness at work won't be as strong. Your health is going to fail. Your relationships are going to go south. You name it. God created it in such a way that we are to remember, we are to rest, and we're to sink. Sync up with God in the rhythm that He created for us to operate in. Michael Moriarty, in his book called The Perfect Ten, writes, and I quote, "So far, no one has been able to improve on the work-rest cycle. God's plan yields the best results. God has arranged time in such a way that it unfolds in seven-day cycles. Some have tried to improve upon this seven-day pattern, only to repent later. Certain communist systems, such as the former Soviet Union, proclaimed the New Man Theory and inaugurated a 10-day week. This social experiment failed. God's seven-day rhythm is best for men and women because God created them." It's interesting that after all these years, after all these brainiacs come up with all their wonderful, amazing ideas, that God's ways is still best, right? We think we can figure out. Remember when they made the computer? Some of you are like, no, that's okay. I do. When they made the computer, they swore that this was going to eliminate at least a couple of days of the work week. It's going to reduce our workload so much. You're going to have so much more free time. How well did that work? Right? In our wonderful wisdom, we think we have it all figured out. But it's just fascinating how God's rhythm and pattern and plan is always best. It's not just good, it's very good. It's perfect. It's fascinating, don't you think? Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 13. It's very clear instructions, y'all. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day. But enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day. And don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. This is a command. Right? It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fourth commandment. Yet, even though it's a command, I want you to notice and be reminded of something that Jesus proclaims about His commands. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, it says, "Loving God means keeping His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Again, a couple weeks ago, remember I said, quoted Jesus. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." And if we spin that around a little bit, could we say, if you're not keeping my commandments, you're not really loving me, at least not like you're supposed to, right? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And then He says, and by the way, my commandments aren't that tough. It's not burdensome. It's not here to hurt and hinder and restrict. It's here to help you. Especially this one. The Sabbath, it was meant to help us. The Sabbath was not for us to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was there to meet the needs of the people. Because God loves you and wants to spend time with you. He deserves that day with you. He longs for that day with you. He wants you to curl up in Papa's arms and just listen to him talk. And he longs for you to tell him about your week and maybe your dreams and aspirations for the next week. Listen, I'm grateful for holidays. I really am. We've got lots of holidays, and we get to celebrate. I like holidays. I really do. But we've got enough holidays. What we really need is Holy Day. Every 6 days, we need a day to set aside as holy, sacred, set apart, to remember who God is, and what he has done, and what he is doing, and what he has yet to do. To rest in his goodness, in his love, just in his presence. And to come together after the world does its thing, and we come and just get re-synced in with the rhythm that God created for us. Like, I know some of y'all are just tough. You're like, you're the exception to the rule. You can go for 80 days without a day off. No, you can't. First of all, disobeying a commandment in the scripture. And I could go second, third, and fourth, and fifth, and sixth, and seventh, and eighth, and ninth, and tenth reason why it's dumb. I guess where the rubber meets the road, or to the message is for today, is y'all have to square with God about this. It is a commandment. I feel like I've made it really clear. It's not here to be a burden. It's not here to restrict you. It's not here to hurt you. It's not here to limit your abilities. It's not here to be a drag. It's meant to help you. So this should be a happy message. You should look up here and go, wow, preacher, thank you. Right? You're welcome. You look a little sad, though. And I don't know why. Maybe, first service, somebody come up and said, no, I don't think they're sad. I think we're just really deep in thought. What are we going to do with this, really? How am I doing with the Sabbath? Does it have to be a Saturday? Does it have to be a Sunday? Could it be Thursday? It doesn't matter. We each need a Sabbath. We all do. We are created in God's image. He set the example and set the tempo in creation. 6 days rested. And if God did that for us to show us what we really, who do we think we are to think we maybe know better than he does?